Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Santana Dodson. Good morning, Santana. How are you?
I'm good, fellas. We finally got off the schneid and got us a victory, and no better team to do it against than Chicago.
I agree. Wins are good. Beating the Bears, always good. But
And they climb another win above 500 with that one, instead of going back to even
with the Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely true. And then how about that John Fox call? That was great.
The touchdown that was a touchback and a turnover?
The touchdown, which was a touchback, and you're exactly right. I mean, then it turned into a turnover, and we get the ball on the 20. Just the whole, you know, just the whole chain of events was crazy. But it was the proper call.
What is the sequence of events on that play? The toe is out of, the toe can't be out of bounds first, right?
No, he had to be in bounds when the ball was loose.
Right, inbounds when the ball was loose, and the ball was not across the goal line when it came loose.
You're exactly right. You have to cross the goal line and have control of the ball. And the fact that he was attempted to cross the goal line, and when you watch the replay, the ball comes ajar, it comes loose. Now that is a touchback because it happens in the end zone. So it's a change of possession and our ball on the 20, which you saw yesterday.
And it was in the end zone because it was loose as it sort of nailed the pylon, which is part of the end zone.
Exactly right. Yeah, so it was a great call to our benefit. I mean, but to Chicago's detriment, you know, what happens on that sideline is John Fox really doesn't know. So there's somebody, a coaching staff or a member of their staff that's in the box or upstairs that sees all this going on and suggested that, you know, he throw the red flag out there and look at the play.
How well do coaches and players know the rule book?
You know it pretty well, yeah. You know,
really well.
Yeah, you know it well enough. But, you know, these things happen so fast that I'm sure, you know, the wide receiver felt like he crossed the plane of the goal line and had control of the ball. You know, if you would have asked me, I would have said, oh, yeah, I crossed the goal line. I'm sure I had the ball.
But here's the thing, Santana. We all know the last player I would listen to is the guy who gets up and tells me I was in. I don't want to hear from him. Of course he thinks he was in. D-backs are always waving passes off that were clearly catches. Like, that's not a catch. So I want to talk to the guy upstairs. I ignore everything else. I talk to the guy upstairs.
God, you mean?
Well, yeah. And if he's not available, the guy watching the replay.
Oh, that guy.
That guy.
I don't know if he's as high up as God, but he's got
the guy upstairs, I mean.
Because as head coach, you've got to sort through the chaos, right? You go to your generals and you go, what did you see? What do we have? You got to challenge it. He was told. I'm sure he was told.
Exactly, because they have videos upstairs in the box. So I'm sure John Fox is relying on whoever saw that play. Okay, what did you see? Should we challenge it? And whoever told him, yeah, hell yeah, we should challenge it.
Yeah.
And you see what happened.
Right, and it blew up in their face. Very Maury hopes for results like that on his talk show and doesn't get them. But that's what that was, right? That's what Maury dreams of.
I think we just... No, it was a historic moment where the first time in the world history Maury was brought up during a sports segment.
That baby's daddy.
Yeah, right. I told you.
Oh,
I told you.
That is a typical Maury show right there. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I know what you're talking about.
Maury Povich elevating broadcasting to a new level every day. Let's back up here. For three quarters, I thought Brett Hundley looked very pedestrian. And at times, like, he was just unaware of where pressure was coming from. Like, he would stand there and not realize somebody is charging towards you. Move! And he didn't do it. But in the fourth quarter, he threw a couple of passes that I thought, wow, those looked like Rodgers passes. Touchdown pass?
I mean, he definitely has the arm. We know that. It's just, you know, he's on that grading curve, and we've been watching a guy that's arguably one of the best to ever do it. We've been watching him the last few seasons do it. So, you know, it's definitely a drop-off when you watch him at that position. But he's a young guy, you know, so we can't put it all on him. You know, I would like to see the play calling be a little bit different, meaning that we've got a veteran wide receiver group. So maybe not so much 5 and 7 step drop, but a lot more 3. Just get the ball out of his hands. When you're doing a 3 step drop, then you're really gearing the quarterback position to get rid of the ball, get it out of your hands, and let's get it to some of these veteran wide receivers that we have and let them do the work.
Oh, and then there was that time he got kind of barbecued by Spielman for not running
when he had at least 10 yards,
like
he said,
bunch
in front of him.
Field in front of him, and he didn't run.
Because what you don't have in the NFL is you don't have time to think. It's all a reaction. We talked about this a little bit last week, but, you know, it's all a preconceived notion. What's going to happen when somebody blitzes? What's going to happen when you got 3 down linemen rushing or 4 linemen rushing? Or, you know, you've got 8 guys dropping in coverage. You know, it's all an adjustment. And if you're taking time to think, which happens when you're coming off the bench and you're a young player, then the defense has too much time to react to everything you're doing.
I saw Dan Marino on a 30 for 30 trying to explain his thought process as he looked downfield, and it just seems like something either you can do or you can't. Maybe it can be coached into you, but his talent seemed like it was just so – what he was trying to explain, what he did, he didn't explain it because I think he could just do it so easily.
Yeah, I mean, it's an anticipation, you know, and it comes with practice and frequency and, you know, doing it time and time and time again, and you know where your receivers are. You know, I mean, you could have 3 receivers running the same route and they all run it differently as far as when they come out of the break, how they come out of the break. And, you know, as a quarterback, that ball is waiting on you as soon as you come out of the break. So, I mean, it's really frequency and getting used to everything. And as we watch him, he's going to develop. He does have a nice arm. You know, he's been in the meeting rooms with 12 for the last few seasons. So, you know, he's had a bird's eye view of everything that's going on. But that is a lot different from, you know, buckling your chin strap and getting out there on inclement weather in Chicago on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, trying to make things happen.
What are the chances he's the Packers' next quarterback?
I would think slim to none, and slim just left town. I mean, when you watch quarterbacks these days, you know, you've got Tom Brady in New England that's 40-plus years old. You've got more of these guys that are learning. Drew Brees is 40 this year. So I'm not even sure where Aaron is. I want to say he's early or mid-30s.
34.
He's 34. So the way these guys are taking care of their bodies now, I would definitely say Aaron's got a good 5 to 7 year run. You know, what you'll probably see with Brett, with Hundley, is if he can organize and get us, you know, a good finish to this season, is he'll probably end up somewhere else if he wants to be a starter in the NFL.
Last question, though, because you said maybe you trade him somewhere and he gets a starting job. How important is it to the Packers now with Rodgers going down? He hasn't had a whole season, really. I mean, he has more not complete seasons than he does full seasons. Don't you want to keep somebody like Hundley around in case he goes down again? Somebody who's got some experience?
Yeah, you would want to try. You would definitely want to try. But, you know, that always ends up when you draft young and you draft guys from college, you know, everybody wants to be a starter or a star in the NFL. So, you know, I mean, that really goes to Brett and his ability. Does he really want to stay and be a backup, you know, for the next 5, 6, 7 years? Because that's what he would be in Green Bay. So, you know, that's a decision he and his camp, or he and his agent and family would have to make. And typically a young guy wants to leave and go somewhere else. Now, if there's a veteran, you know, a long-tooth veteran that you can find because of those reasons, then you bring a guy in that's probably in the later stages of his career to back Aaron up because of, like you said, he hadn't been able to finish, you know, a full season in quite some time.
Yeah, those long-tooth veterans, though, if they're good enough to play, they're usually playing right now. So, yeah, that's a tough species to find. All right, Santana. Yeah.
We got to run.
All right, fellas. Y'all have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, talk to you after the Ravens game.